Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The basis for our message today is the gospel lesson, the account given to us by St. Mark of Jesus' resurrection. Well, a family had a tradition of watching a movie of the life of Jesus as Easter approached. And as they were watching it, the youngest child was deeply moved. She saw Jesus being beaten and started to cry. As he put him on the cross, tears rolled down her cheek, and she became absolutely silent when they took Jesus down and they put him into the tomb. And then suddenly she grinned. And then she shouted, "Now's the good part." And it is, right? Now's the good part. Today's the good part. Jesus is alive. What a joyous day. Joy in our hymns, joy in our prayers, joys in the flowers and everything. All this joy. That's why it's rather startling when we get to the gospel lesson and we hear at the very end that the women fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Doesn't sound very happy. Doesn't sound very joyful. But what's going on? That's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to examine what the women went through on that day. That they come to the tomb alarmed. They're alarmed at the tomb, and they're alarmed when they leave. But we're reminded on this Easter Sunday that that which overcomes their alarm and fear is the very fact that the tomb is empty. But when we come to the text, Mark tells us that the women are on the way of the tomb, with the tomb, to again with the spices, to take care of Jesus' body. But they have a concern. They're worried. They say amongst themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb?" We're told by the gospel writers that they had been at the place of Jesus' burial. They had seen Joseph and Nicodemus take care of Jesus' body, put it in, and roll the stone over it. They understood exactly the situation that they faced. And so they're concerned. How are they ever going to get that stone removed? Though it is interesting, they don't stop. They keep going. Maybe they think they'll just figure it out when they get there. But when I read this every year, I'm always kind of wondering, is that really their only concern? That's their immediate concern, right? The immediate concern is getting that stone out of the way so that they can take care of Jesus' body. But aren't there other concerns? They've just lost their friend, their leader, the one that they loved. What were they going to do now? Weren't they worried about tomorrow and the next day? They've invested 3 years in following this master, and he's taken away from them. Are they not worried about the future and what's going to happen? Are they not worried about what are they going to do now with their life? Are there not concerns even beyond about that stone? And they have no answers for those either. As you gather here today, this morning, do you have any concerns? Anything you're worried about? The immediate worry was getting ready by 6:30, right? But what else in your life, right? Maybe you're going to go on a trip. Maybe you're worried about what you're going to have for this afternoon. Is it going to turn out all right if you're having family over? All those things. Are there concerns at work? But most of us have concerns and worries. There's so much in this life to worry about. We can worry about our nation as it goes through another presidential election. We can worry about family. We can worry about friends. Worry about health. Your health or the health of those whom you love. Your finances. Strife. Difficulty. There's lots that can be worrisome to us. Lots that concern us. And where do we find an answer? How are we helped in the midst of our struggles? In the midst of our worry. As we go back to the text, on that Easter when the women arrived, they find out that the stone had been rolled back. The stone had been removed and rolled away. Notice that which they were worried about really wasn't an issue. It had been taken care of. Isn't that in itself a little lesson for us? How much time and energy do we worry about things that actually never end up happening? And yet, as they are there, the angel announces to them, "Don't be alarmed. There's no reason to be concerned." And he tells them why. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth who is crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. Jesus is alive. There's no reason for alarm. And the second part of the message is just as important. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Jesus is alive to be with his people. Don't be alarmed. Don't be worried. The Lord that you love is alive, the angel says. The Lord that you love is going to meet you. The Lord that led you and guided you these last 3 years is alive to lead you and guide you once again. You are not going to be alone. The Lord is with you. Therefore, you can set aside your worry. You can set aside your alarm. And isn't that the message that the angel has for us today? Don't be alarmed. Jesus is alive. He has taken care of our chief concern. A concern that we don't always see as our chief concern. But it is. Our sin. Our chief concern is our sin that alienates us from God and alienates us from one another. The Lord has taken care of that. He's died for that. He's risen for that. You are forgiven. You have life. And the Lord is alive to be with you. You have a place to turn in your worries and concerns. You have a Lord that's alive to hear your prayers and to answer them. The Lord is alive to forgive you, to bless you. With Easter, our reason to worry is gone. So no one worries. It's striking to me that you go again to the end of the text. The women have no reason to worry, right? That's what the angel says. Don't be alarmed. He's given them reason to. And yet again, listen to what Mark says. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It seems like a strange ending. They're still alarmed. But it strikes to me as an honest ending. An honest picture. The women came to the tomb alarmed. They leave alarmed. And it's a reminder that it's difficult to overcome our worries and our fears. It's difficult to overcome our stresses. That with the gospel, we have indeed the promise of Christ's life and resurrection. And indeed, these women rejoiced at the news that Jesus was alive. But aren't they simply struggling to apply it to their life? To see what it fully means for them as they leave the tomb and what's going to mean for that afternoon, the next day, and the following day? Now, they do understand. We are told that the other gospel writers tell us that they overcame their fear. They did see Jesus. They told the disciples. But I think Mark records this to remind us that things aren't instantaneous. It's not like our worry has a switch. We just turn on and we turn off. But he also tells us we have a place to go. The women had a place to go. They had a Lord who loved them and is with them. As we stand here on Easter, Easter has arrived, the resurrection has brought to us, but there's still that temptation to worry. The things that you were worried about as you entered this building are still there when we leave, right? But it's different. Not that it's all disappeared, but now we have a Lord and we are reminded again just how much our Lord loves us. They would actually give up everything for us. Absolutely everything, even his life, and he'd conquer sin and the grave for us. Is it not this Lord going to be with us and watch over us and provide for us in our need? Hasn't he already accomplished that by taking care of sin? Because isn't that where all our worry and alarm comes from? Our own sinful nature and the sin that exists within this world. The Lord's conquered it all. And the Lord understands. The Lord who walked this earth understands the worries that we have. Everything that we experience, everything we've gone through, he has gone through. And he loves you enough to provide for you. He knows your need. He has the power to answer. And he understands. One final point about this is how much of our worry and concern deals with the people that we love. We're worried about our parents. We're worried about our children. We're worried about our grandchildren, our spouse, our siblings, all the others. And we are reminded today that the Lord is alive not only to be with you, but those you're concerned about. The Lord loves you, and he loves them. He loves them even more than you do. isn't he then going to guard and protect them? Isn't he then going to hear your prayers and answer them? Isn't he the one that we want in his hands, those whom we love? Because he loves them. We place our trust in him to guide, to guard, and protect them. And isn't that a beautiful promise for us to know that Jesus is alive to do exactly that? Today is the good part. It's the great part. Jesus is alive. There will be struggles in our life, but in the end there is joy. There is joy because the Lord lives, and because he lives, we live. We live not only today, but tomorrow and eternally. We live with the Lord who loves us and provides for us and will always be there for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guide our hearts and minds to true faith, to life everlasting. Amen.